You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest says President Trump's proposal to strip federal funding from the arts and humanities would hurt not only the art world, but the American economy. He'll explain why coming up. Right now, state lawmakers have introduced a resolution in the state Senate that would add Wisconsin to a growing list of states seeking a constitutional convention. All of the states signing on want to add an amendment to the Constitution forcing the federal government to have a balanced budget. Supporters of the move say it's time to rein in the national debt, nearing $20 trillion, but critics say amending the Constitution to include that balanced budget amendment could have a negative impact for years to come, and the process could open the door to other unrelated amendments. Andrea Kaminsky joins us now. She's executive director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, and she's against this idea of a constitutional convention. Andrea, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So what do you see as the potential main problem with a federal balanced budget constitutional amendment and this process, of course?
Yeah, well, the League, we really understand people's concerns about the federal debt, but really amending the U.S. Constitution is the wrong way to handle that problem. And in fact, it's a particularly dangerous path to take. And we have three reasons for this. One is that really it imperils all citizen rights that are currently protected in the U.S. Constitution, because a constitutional amendments convention can go in many different directions once it's happened. And it hasn't happened in more than 200 years since the first one. So we really don't know where it's going to go. And so it could put every citizen right at risk. That is voting rights, freedom of speech, definition of marriage, having three branches of government. I mean, really, this could be starting from back from zero. Who knows? Even prohibition, depending on who's there. But also, we believe that requiring a balanced budget for the federal government would put the government in a position where it could not respond to an economic recession or a national disaster or emergency without having to stop first and raise taxes. And so, you know, think of the recession in 2008. That could have become a full-blown depression under a balanced budget amendment. It would have been disastrous. And finally, the League believes our nation is changing, and that change is taking place in every state and every district. And in such a time, we really have to be prepared to respond quickly and flexibly to any crisis that comes up. And our Constitution is more than 200 years old, and it's had that flexibility. With individual amendments, we've been able to respond to changing times.
Yeah, let's talk about each of those in turn, actually. And for part one, a bit of a civics lesson that I've had to brush up on here. The way most of our amendments, all of our amendments, have happened is Congress says, okay, we're putting this out there, and then the states one at a time ratify it.
When
you hear
it
at the right number of states, you got it. That's everything after the Bill of Rights. That's how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is a way we haven't tried, but the Constitution leaves it open, where the state legislatures initiate the process, and that's what some lawmakers are working on. So you're saying there would be, in effect, maybe an open door, not just for a balanced budget, but to, once it convenes, it could go just about anywhere.
That's right. And the convention itself would have the ability, just as both houses of Congress, both houses of our state legislature can set their rules, the convention would have that ability to set its own rules. And there is some attempt in our legislature mm-hmm. to limit what our delegates, if this happened, what the Wisconsin delegates could vote on, and to say, nope, they can only vote on the balanced budget. Well, there are 49 other states that are going to be there, and they really can't control that.
Well, but if I've seen that here in Wisconsin, the rule being if you start to propose another idea, you're out. We're yanking you as mm-hmm. a delegate. If enough states were to do that, do you think it's possible if states coordinate to have a narrowly focused, we're only going to talk about this balanced budget amendment?
Well, there are 28 states that have already passed these resolutions, some of them dating back to the 1970s. And the resolutions, you know, who knows what people had in mind and how all these resolutions are written. I really think you're leaving open a door for too much uncertainty.
And are there any constitutional safeguards to say once you convene this convention, you can only do X but not Y?
Well, we don't know 100%
because
we haven't tried it since we wrote the Constitution, since our forebears wrote the Constitution. Yeah.
Talking to Andrea Kaminsky from the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin, talking about an effort by a number of states, possibly soon, including Wisconsin, to convene a constitutional convention, the main goal, the balanced budget amendment idea. But she's saying that could open the door to a lot of other amendments once that were to convene. How many states would have to be involved to make this thing a reality?
Well, 34 states. So it'd be 2/3 of the states would have to call for the article. It's called an Article 5 Convention of the States. There are 28 that already have done so. And there are another 5 where there are active proposals. So this is something we really need to be on top of.
And let's get to your second objection, the idea of the balanced budget amendment itself. So a constitutional requirement that the budget is balanced. And you worry that that would tie the hands of government in dealing with an emergency. And sometimes the balanced budget amendment is presented as you can't have an unbalanced budget except in a case of emergency. You could have that opening. So if with that clarification, with that additional rule there, would that be okay?
Well, that would be better, but it would not be. We still don't think that that is a way that a country as great as the United States should be preparing for an emergency. We don't think it offers what we need just to be even prepared for the changes that are already taking place in our communities and, you know, with changing demographics in the country.
I think people look at Congress and the federal system in general and say, well, maybe that's a bad idea, this amendment, but look at what we've got. We've got a system that doesn't seem to be addressing annual deficits and the growing national debt. So is there another solution?
Well, of course, we believe that people should be asking these questions before an election and studying up and then electing officials who are ready to meet the basic needs of the population while also being fiscally responsible. We don't think that forcing a balanced budget is the answer.
Well, part of the idea behind the Constitution is to protect ourselves in some ways from excesses of thinking as a democracy. In this case, it's very tempting for lawmakers to lower taxes. That's very popular, and it's very tempting to increase spending. People love it when money's mm-hmm. being spent on them. So there's this built-in incentive in some ways for a deficit. So wouldn't it be worth it to have a constitutional safeguard against that?
Really, what we need is a whole different way of looking at funding government and what government is for. Government is here to serve the needs of the electorate, of the people. And this idea that we have to cut revenue and then the idea that well, we don't want to increase services except services in my district. You know, and I don't think that putting an amendment into our fundamental document, our Constitution, to make politicians behave is the answer. That's a very drastic approach, and it's a dangerous one.
And then getting to your third point of concern, the first was this could open the door to other amendments. The second is worry about the balanced budget amendment itself. And the third was polarization today. And people will use the phrase, you know, most polarized since, you name it, Reconstruction, Civil War, whatever they want to put it. Why is that an extra concern for you if we were to convene a constitutional convention now?
Well, it's really more that we feel that the nation is undergoing change. Mm-hmm. And that we need to have the flexibility that is the level of flexibility that our country, you know, that our current Constitution has afforded us. Now, going into a constitutional convention with our current level of polarization sounds really scary because people are at the far ends of the spectrum, and it's like one side or the other is going to win out. It should be that's not governing, and that's not the way our original constitution was adopted. And that's part of why it has served us so well for so long.
Well, the original constitution had a lot of closed-door horse trading going on in it, too. I mean, maybe that would be, you could see it as a refresher for democracy if you got people in that, probably won't be a smoke-filled room anymore, but that, you know, hey, you guys come up with something.
Well, it scares me under today's winner-take-all politics, how that might play out. And we do think that our current document was written with great care. It came through a process of compromise, and it really has served us well.
What would it take to have it, both at the leadership level in Washington and among citizens in general, I guess, a civic renewal, a renewal of interest in working to fix government and compromise to fix government?
Well, that's what we all want to know. And I think it's just very important for us all to understand what government is for, and that it is a matter of, this is how the people take care of the common good, about how we all get along better in this society. And, one can always hope that in the next election there'll be a better understanding of that. Certainly the League takes that approach in our discussions about the state budget, which we're working on now. It's not a matter of us and them. It's a matter of us and how we're all going to coexist in this space together.
We'll leave it there for now. Andrea, thanks a lot for joining us.
All right, thank you.
That's Andrea Kaminsky, Executive Director of the League of Women Voters of Wisconsin. She joined us today to talk about calls for a constitutional convention to add a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution, why she's worried it could be a bad idea. Coming up after the news, our guest makes the case for arts and humanities in the age of the algorithm. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network.